Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
My name is Marcy Kornbaum. My best friend since preschool is Summer Weingarten. What I'm about to tell you happened right here in Cloverdale, Indiana, where we live. It happened to me and Summer and a few other people. Here are some of them. Not in any kind of order, okay? Rod and Todd. The Dorkmeister twins. Like, they aren't really twins, just two guys who share one brain. More about them later. Spike and Scooter. A lot more about them later, too. Summer's cousin Steve, who joined the army last year, he's not in the story at all, but some of his clothes are. Herb Zorik, this, like, handyman guy, he comes to your house and fixes stuff, like your garbage disposal, when you turn it on and there's a fork down inside it and it, like, eats the fork and jams, you know? Anyway, he's in the story. Melching, the donut king, is in the story, but not until way at the end.
Big location.
Ah, doorknobs. I knew I had two more.
Doris Trowbridge is in the story a lot. People in town call her Weird Doris.
Jewel Deluxe.
But me and Summer don't.
Manufactured by Higgins and Son, Pittsburgh, 1934.
Not that she isn't. Weird, I mean, because she totally is.
These are little beauties.
Welcome to They Call This a Movie, testing the strength of friendships one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Call This a Movie. We are part of the Main Damie Network, and to find more from us, check out the website, themaindamie.com, or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, at The Main Damie. We are also now a proud member of Geek Vibes Nation. You can find them at gvnation.com. Welcome back to They Call This a Movie. This is Anthony Delvecchio. With me, as always, is Dan Aquino and Mark Meyer. Say hello, gentlemen.
Oh, this movie. Oh, God.
I just had one thought pop in my head while watching this movie. Why does everything that occurred before September 11 just feel like a fever dream that doesn't seem real? Like, we all lived through it, but it just seems like a completely different, like, reality.
We were too high on ourselves. We could do no wrong.
Yep.
Movies were getting greenlit left and right, man.
It's just everything about the settings is just like the bitter end of that time period when we were all so naive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. The movie that we're covering tonight is just one giant thanks I hate it.
Oh, don't be so hard on it. Before we get into this movie, guys, what have you been watching this?
I've been watching a lot of old school wrestling. I don't know why. I've been watching a YouTube channel called Old School Wrestling. These three Irish guys, and they just go over all the old wrestling. And I didn't realize, like, thank God I watched this stuff as a kid, because it's terrible now. Yep. I didn't realize how bad it was. Just, like, everyone is not really good at selling. There were so many poor wrestlers, too. I don't remember there being so many poor wrestlers.
Right.
It was like Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Mr. Perfect. And then that was kind of it. Everyone else was just kind of iffy. Like Razor Ramon was good. But then everyone else just kind of sucked.
Yeah, so by poor wrestlers, you mean Hulk Hogan?
Oh, yeah. The Ultimate Warrior, he was bad. Like, Macho Man was good. Flair was good. But, yeah, it's just like I was watching a Royal Rumble. And you had, like Man of War was coming out at 18. And then the Bushwhackers.
Was that the one where the one Bushwhacker came in a ring, did their thing, got thrown out, and then just kept doing their little march? Did you see
that?
Yeah,
he was in the ring for like 2 seconds and immediately gets thrown out. Like Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Like I have that action figure of Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Duggan actually wasn't a bad wrestler. He just got trapped into a terrible gimmick like most of those late 80s WWF stars did.
It just kind of shit all over my childhood. Yeah. These guys are funny. I recommend, and I brought it up prior to the recording, but for any listeners out there who might enjoy wrestling, check out OSW, the channel OSW. Very funny guys. They point out a lot of, they critique a lot of interesting, you know, like big sells, like guys hitting and missing completely. It has me talking in like an Irish brogue at times because every other word is like the C word out of them. So like, oh, Vince McMahon, that cunt. He's just jobbing over here. I'm sitting here laughing my ass off, and Jen just, I could see Jen wants to shoot me.
You are the ultimate accent mimic.
I'm terrible. I'm sorry.
It's nothing to apologize. I know like two people in my life that are like that, and I didn't find out you were one until we did that one shot, and Ant was doing that Southern accent. And you kept drifting into the Southern accent in your conversations with
him. I'm so sorry. I can't help it. It's so difficult. I can say like a couple things, and then if I go further than two words, it's done. I lose it.
And my other friend can only tell me what another friend says who's from England in that guy's English accent. Like, she goes, and then he said, well, you know, and then just goes into the accent. And it's... You guys fascinate me because I can barely do an accent, as everybody has found out on Stranger Damies. So someone that can just do it, not at will, like an expert like thing, but just not even think about it and then just start talking in the accent.
It's
just
amazing. my one sister is dating a gentleman from England. So she would check in with him like twice a day while she was visiting us. So just to be a dick. Whenever she was on the phone, I would just do random. I would do like the old Cockney accent. Like, oi, Christine, it's time for dinner. You know, just like really laying it in thick.
Shine your boots, governor.
How about a smile? Just like really like laying it on thick. And I could hear him like, who's that? Yeah, it's my brother.
I'm glad
like
that
Ann totally has... normal sounding guy, too. Just like, oh, who's that? You know.
I'm glad that the video is on so Ann can see that Dan can't do that accent without moving his arms.
Yeah, I got to do the side to side kind of. I don't what are some, I don't know. You won't take the lift.
Mike cocaine.
Yeah, Mike cocaine. I was watching a review of Jaws: The Revenge. They specifically mentioned the part where he's getting off the plane. And the shark attacks.
Right. Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, shit. Oh, I love it.
Mark, what about you? What have you watched this week?
The only thing I watched is the thing that I watch every Friday with Daniel is WandaVision. So far, I think we've all seen up to the last episode. It's pretty good. I mean, I like the slow drip of stuff they've done in terms of reveals, and I can sort of have an idea of what's going on with things and then sort of throw it out to Dan and he either confirms or maybe explains it a little better, which is, that's been the fun part about watching it with him, is to be able to have that instant reaction instead of texting or something without knowing if the other person has seen it. The one thing I did notice is that I didn't know how, I don't want to say great or good or put a superlative like that on it, but how consistent of an actress Elizabeth Olsen is. Like, at no point, everything she does when either talking or just in silence when something's going on around, like, nothing seems like forced or out of place. I don't know how exactly to describe it. I don't know if it's great. Like, it's the whole scene where, you know, she's just standing there and things are happening around her and she's just basically reacting to it. And she kind of just stays in that form and doesn't. It's just really this series has shown me that, you know, she's very reliable of an actress. You're not going to get a poor performance out of her. You may never get an Oscar winning or anything, but she won't hurt your movie or TV show. And I think that's the biggest revelation I've had through six episodes.
There was a tweet I saw, and it was you know the Leonardo DiCaprio meme of him pointing at the screen from Once Upon a Time, and it was just like everything on the left side, everything from WandaVision, and on the right side, Mephisto. It's like everything is Mephisto, and like we just Mark and I are at my house, we're just constantly like, oh, that might be Mephisto doing that, or that's something that Mephisto would have done.
Classic Mephisto.
Oh, that old Mephisto. You gotta look out for that. He's a wild one. But man, I love that show. The first two episodes were terrible, and I remember like, oh, this is so slow, and then. But that's a TV show. Mm-hmm. That's how TV shows are, and I completely forgot about it. So I think I was definitely too harsh on the first two episodes.
As for me, I watched WandaVision. I liked it. A couple of movies I watched, don't really need to get into either. Both Netflix films that my wife put on. One was All the Boys for Always and Forever, whatever the third one is.
P.S. I love you. Right? Is that what it is? No, that's an actual movie.
That's no. The only notable thing is that their senior trip is in New York City, and that just sounds miserable to me. That's such a disappointment. As someone that didn't have a senior trip because of 9/11, as the school said, was their excuse.
You could just see them just like fist pumping a little bit. Like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, we don't gotta take those bratty kids. Because it was like my senior trip would have been like 2003. 2 years later. They're milking that 9/11.
Can't chance it.
Oh, man, we can't take your senior trip. You know, remember when Kennedy got shot?
They're milking that 9/11 udder for 2 years. But watch that. Who cares? And then I watched, she put on Penguin Bloom, which is like a true story about Australian woman that she gets paralyzed and she... Then the family kind of rescues some sort of bird, and through the healing power of healing this bird, she finds the strength to move on, blah, blah, blah. Naomi Watts is in it. It wasn't bad, but who cares? It's like a six. But the one thing I did start watching, it's a rewatch, and I haven't watched this in about 20 years. It's been C-Lab 2021. That show fucking holds up, man.
That was Adult Swim, correct?
Adult Swim, yeah.
Okay. Now explain, what is that show? I would see it, and I never watched it.
So there was a show called C-Lab 2020 in the 1970s, which was like poorly animated, a show about these adventures that happen underneath the sea in this C-Lab. So there's dolphins, probably an underlying conservation message or something like that. And I think it probably lasted like a season or something like that. So at least in the original episodes of C-Lab 2021, they just recycled the animation and just did these off the wall kind of storylines with stupid characters and saying stupid things and doing stupid things. Eventually it grew out where they didn't really reuse the animations anymore. They did their own animations, but it still continued to go out crazier and crazier storylines. But oh yeah, it's probably one of my favorite Adult Swim shows ever. It was one of the originals. So it was like Brack Show, C-Lab 2021, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Those were like the core group of the originals, and it's just so funny to me.
Was that Space Ghost Coast to Coast as well?
So Space Ghost Coast to Coast was like in mid 90s it originally came out.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah, because I remember watching that. I think it might have been on like MTV or Comedy Central or something like that.
Okay, I remember seeing it a long, long time ago.
But that's where the Brack Show originated from. So Brack and Zorak were from that.
I'm looking at pictures of C-Lab 2021. It's kind of like a what's that other adventure show? It was like Johnny Quest,
sort of Johnny Quest animation. Yes. Yeah, it was like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Yeah,
correct. Yeah, I remember this show now. Okay,
it was long forgotten. It's on HBO Max. So if anybody has HBO Max and you haven't seen C-Lab 2021, I suggest it if you're into just bizarre humor.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of up our alley.
Yeah, and that's really all I watched. The only thing worth mentioning. But yeah, that's it. So we're going to get into this week's movie. But before we do, we're going to take a break and listen to some ads because we got to pay those bills, baby. We'll be right back. And welcome back. And now it's time to get into this week's movie. And we got a doozy, ladies and gentlemen.
Were you about to say bitch?
I was going to say baby.
Oh, okay. We got a doozy, bitch.
Now I kind of wish that I was going to say bitch. No. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a doozy for you. So this week was my pick. And we were talking off air that we each have our own role in choosing movies. Dan picks sandals and sand movies that we were supposed to ban and we don't. And then nobody's happy. Mark skirts the line between bad movies and just sort of movies that are kind of good but kind of cheesy. And then I pick off the wall movies that no one expects. And sometimes we hate them and sometimes we love them. I think this week is the former. So I picked... The reason why I picked this is we had talked about this movie about a year and a half ago because we watched a movie from this director already. It was Night of the Comet. And we went on a 5 or 10 minute conversation about a movie about two girls that turn rats into prom dates, which is sort of the story, but not quite. The movie is 2000's Rats, a Showtime original movie, Rats with a Z. So I watched this movie when I was 15, yeah. And I don't know why. It came on at like 6:30 in the morning one day.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
And watched it to the end. So probably sleep deprivation made me watch it.
This is the second time you've seen this movie?
At least.
Oh, wait a minute. No, wait a minute.
May have seen this at least twice in the same year when I was 15.
Okay. We're going to rewind a little bit here.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Let's do it.
This has gone on record. I have been given shit for having watched The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
More than once.
Uh-huh. 6 times, to be exact.
Now you're telling me. You're telling me you've seen the movie Rats more than one time.
Well, now I've seen it 4 times.
That's a lot of times.
Well, I'll tell you the reason why it's different, man. I'll tell you the reason why it's different.
Yeah, I would love to hear this.
Well, because you have gone on record with the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and saying you think it's okay. It's just fine, right?
Sure. Yeah, I don't mind it.
In terms of Rats, I love this movie.
Oh, come on. This is... Mark, are you believing this?
No, not this time.
This is foul play, man.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Right even down to the tagline of this movie, it's just perfect.
What is the tagline?
Oh, I'm going to tell you, because it's on the poster, and it's glorious, because it just sums up... It sums up what we're talking about, this pre-9/11... self-aggrandizing attitude. Tagline is, change two rats into guys? Whatever. Perfect.
Yeah. I think I would have probably made that up just out of nowhere. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed this movie. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, unabashedly
loving. Terrible. So terrible, but kind of great in its terribleness. But where are you guys coming from with Rats with a Z?
Wow. I'm trying to process this whole thing now. I feel like I can always just pull... Well, no, I can't, because you just admittedly love this. So I can't even use this against you in future fights about movies. Like, well, I'm not going to listen to the guy who enjoys rats. I can't do that anymore. Listen, I hated this movie. This was just like the entire time I was thinking Anthony just decided violence. I understand it. With Love on a Leash, I think that was just you were choosing a movie that was batshit batshit crazy for the sake of this podcast. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, all right, well, rats, I wanted to watch this movie. Yeah, just not good. Not good at all.
He seems so upset.
About 5 minutes into this movie, I said, what did we do to Ant? Like, why? It felt like a movie I should have watched based on the things I was watching around the time period that this was released. But maybe we didn't have Showtime, so maybe that is why I never saw it before this. The one good thing this did was lead me down a IMDb hole where I found out that got reminded of a gymnastics movie from the early 2000s that Jeff Bridges did. It's called Stick It, I believe. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, that movie existed. So that was probably the only positive to come out of this experience. So much of this movie is just, it felt like a Disney Channel original movie that Disney was just like, I don't think so. Because all of it, like, there were some good gags in it. I'll give it that. There were definitely moments in the movie that felt like something I would have watched on Disney in terms of things going on. I'm assuming Ron Silver needed a paycheck. And, you know, that's basically where I was coming from. I got the same idea. I didn't think Ant would love it as unabashedly as he is. I had just thought he got upset that we'd been watching a lot of good movies over this year and just thought he'd drop the hammer.
That's what I thought, too.
With rats.
This podcast has taken a turn. I got to bring it back.
I can't even explain it, man. It's so awful. But I just love how ridiculous it is and how, just so out there for a kid's movie. I don't know.
I'll tell you what. There's one line in this movie that I liked. Not that I really liked, but there's a line where... I don't remember any of the characters' names because I'm not wasting time on that. The one blonde who's super into herself, she like wins a pageant or whatever, but she's asking
Jennifer Martin.
Oh yes, so Jennifer is asking the two main characters to skip the dance and watch to babysit someone.
A dog.
Yeah, to dog sit, and you're like, oh, you know, you could. You could hang out at my place, order some pizzas, and it'll probably be better than going to the dance. And I was like, yeah, that sounds fucking great. I would love to do that. This girl gets it.
Yep.
That's the only part that I agreed with in this movie.
I mean, I laughed way harder than I should have at the point when she walks up with the lamp and she goes, it's a nightlight, get it? I laughed way harder than I needed to.
But then she ruined it by asking her if she has enough iodine in her diet.
Yeah, but the nightlight joke was pretty good, and I really didn't, but looking back on it, I probably should have searched Amazon to see if there was a nightlight out there, just to go with my Christmas story lamp that is here. Yeah. But yeah, that was like the thing where there was enough chuckles in it that it was passable at times, but it just seemed like either it was too crazy for Disney or... It just felt like this was like one of those things that just got picked up because a producer had a connection at Showtime after Disney said no. That's all I can keep saying about it. That's all that's in my head.
Do you know how bad of a movie you have to be for Disney to say no to it? Especially at this time. They picked up everything like this.
I don't know, guys. I chuckled at a couple jokes here and there.
The mushroom part was kind of funny. When
two mushrooms that don't pay attention to.
Yeah, and there's two mushrooms that stand around and no one pays attention to. Okay, that's funny.
When Jennifer Martin shows up at the end to bring her with the spring fling, and she says, "When did you break up?" She's like, "The boyfriend's gonna drive them," and she's like, "Well, when did you break up with him?" Oh, sometime this evening.
Right. So it's going to happen. There was too much stuff going on, I think.
Movie is like, it's got ADD.
Yeah. They had a couple too many storylines going on, which really, really drives away from the main plot. Because now I'm trying to decide, what's the most important part here? Is it the girls with the rats, Or is it the hostage situation that we got going on here?
Yeah, it takes a weird turn. It becomes a hostage situation of a person that isn't being a hostage.
So there's a creeper in it, but he's not a creeper. The Swedish rats, the missing boy.
That was great.
It was just a lot to take in, Anthony.
He shows up as the Donut King's wife's nephew and speaks only Chinese.
And then, everyone forgets that he exists.
Except for Rod. Was there Rod and Todd?
Rod and Todd, yeah. Those are the only two I remember. And they're just as corny as their Simpsons counterparts.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't get. And the comments, everyone loved it. Everyone in the comments, this is great. Thank you so much. I love this movie. Childhood favorite. You people were bad, man. What happened to us?
Just such a time capsule with the frosted tips, the bell-bottom jeans. Man, it's wonderful.
Now, the main character, the main girl who's narrating, she's been in a few things. Was she in Waiting? Okay.
She was in Stick It.
Okay.
And then she was in that American Dreams show, the Brittany Snow show.
So this was kind of like a down... No, Waiting would be more of a downgrade for her because she's getting hit on by a 30-year-old Ryan Reynolds.
Sure, yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Dating rats and then that.
Look, if I'm being honest, the reason why I probably watched this when I was 15 was probably because I thought the girls were cute because they were my age.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That probably got me sticking around.
No, I was thinking it would be because of your sister, but she was older at that time, so she probably would not have cared about this
movie. She watched this movie, and I bet you she likes this too. If I text her right now, I'm going to text her right now. We're going to find out live on this podcast if she remembers this movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel that the blonde Summer, I think her name is.
Yep.
If she was a slightly better actress, wouldn't have felt like a reject Disney movie. Like, I think she drags it down a lot.
She's not that good. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And Marcy, right? She, every once in a while, I started to notice and she stopped it. But she started to have like that Mitch from
Dazed and Confused,
where anytime she had to show emotion or something, she did the same thing. Like she'd grab her temples when she would need to get mad. And I was getting slightly annoyed at that. But then she didn't do it as she went along. Only because I started noticing it. If I don't notice it, you know, and someone has a tic like that, it's fine. But it's like every single time. Yeah, I feel as much as these movies tend to really only have one or two good actors in it, Even the ones when you go back and watch some of those Disney original movies, and the ADD thing is most pressing on the voiceovers. That's where I saw it the most.
Sure, but there's a reason for that though. We find out at the end why the voiceover is all over the place.
Yeah, because she was writing it.
She's reading from a D grade paper.
And why would you do that? Why would you make it a D? Right, that's basically telling on yourself. This movie sucks.
She says because it was supposed to be based on a true story and no one believed her.
You could have just fixed that. It could have just been write a story. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Oh, and by the way, the time before cell phones being prevalent as well, where they were, their big goal was to get a phone in their room. And when they couldn't get the older woman on the phone at her shop, it was all of a sudden, no idea how to find her.
Right, it's impossible now. Just too much going on. I thought the ending was strange. I didn't get why was the knight there?
It was a bit.
Yeah, but it doesn't add anything. Right, there's like a joke at the end where the knight could scratch the car, the police car. Yeah. Is like, what is this? Make it make sense. For the love of God.
Yes.
Okay, so Rats from 2000, written and directed by Tom Eberhardt, who also directed Night of the Comet and Captain Ron, stars Vanessa Lungies, Caroline Elliott, Kathy Baker, Ron Silver, Shailen Simmons, Jake Seeley, Levi James, Kyle Labine, Graham Wardle, Barbara Tyson, and Tanya Saulnier. It has an IMDb score of 6.1 and a Rotten Tomatoes score of 56%. There is no box office because it premiered on Showtime June 9th, 2000.
I think that's a higher Rotten Tomatoes score than Batman v Superman.
Oh, it certainly is.
Oh, that's so great. I love it. Oh, God. It's beautiful. That's great.
You guys want to get... movie have rats turn into guys?
No, it's severely lacking in that aspect.
You guys want to get into the plot?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Dan, what do you got for us?
Okay, so as you know, gonna give a quick shout out to our friend Tia and her podcast, The Top 10 with Tia. It's a weekly podcast where Tia and her friend Brittany go over top 10 lists. So you can follow her on Twitter at @TC_Stark. She's a good friend of the podcast. She also writes for Geek Vibes Nation. I think she's their head writer. She's a big shot. She's a big wheel down at the Geek Vibes Nation factory. So go give her a follow. And yeah, that's it.
All right, great. And we are going to be right back. But before we do, we're going to take a minute to listen to some messages from friends of the podcast. So we will be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Steve.
And this is Adam.
And we're part of the Hop Nation USA podcast.
Pittsburgh's number three craft beer podcast.
Join us every Friday for new beer reviews.
We'll talk about the news, history, and homebrewing.
Plus, we'll sit down with the best brewers and industry personalities that'll have us.
So whether you're a casual drinker, a hazy boy hophead,
or even if you're a whale-hunting cellar hoarder,
just search Hop Nation USA on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher and join the nation.
Oh, hi. Didn't see you there. It's me, George, from the Best Little Horror House in Philly, the show where we talk about the best horror movie ever made, according to our guest at least. We've talked about groundbreaking classics like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Alien, but we've also got a lot of great ones coming up, including some very fun guests like Len Kabaczynski of Swamp Zombies and Red Letter Media fame, Caroline Williams, the star of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, and Chase Williamson from John Dies at the End. So make sure you're subscribed to the Best Little Horror House in Philly, and I'll see you boils and ghouls over there.
And welcome back, and now it's time to get into the plot for Rats with a Z. We open on some great turn of the century After Effects credits with some doo-wop music as we pull out on a generic main street that is preparing for the spring fling. We get a voiceover as a high schooler, Marcy, describing the players of the story we're about to see, including her best friend Summer, couple of idiots called Rod and Todd, a pair of rats, plumber, the Donut King. Kathy Baker is a weird lady that owns an antique shop.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the arrows, the 90s MS Paint arrows put into every scene.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Very, very reminded me of the time.
This intro goes on for far too long. It's like a 10-minute intro.
Yes.
Yeah. And it reminded me of how much tie-dye was a thing.
It was a thing in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm proud to say I never owned an article of tie-dye clothing.
I did not either. But I feel like every rec softball team had, like, tie-dye.
Yeah.
From what I remember from my sister's team.
The sister that doesn't remember this show?
So, yes. We texted my sister, and she says she does not remember this movie. So, she's either a liar, or she is turning 40 this year, and they say the first thing that goes is the memory.
Oh, man.
It's actually the first that's actually mentioned in this movie.
Well, if you're going to get rid of something to make some space, I'm glad she chose Rats with a Z.
I 100%. I will go to my grave. She watched this movie.
We'll put it on your tombstone.
Yes. She watched Rats. And a little kid calls Kathy Baker weird looking. And then a precursor to Regina George by the name of Jennifer is also in this movie. And we get to see our heroes go through the torture of 2000 era orthodontics, which I was also subjected to. Then she describes the spring fling, which includes a carnival and a dance in which Marcy and Summer have never been asked to dance while at. Then we rewind to say that Doris loves yard sales, and she accidentally haggles for a box that she can't open. And we meet Ron Silver, who plays Herb Sorek, and he and Doris nerdy flirt.
Well, how much did she actually haggle?
Accidentally haggled.
Yeah, okay. It's like she was just talking, and the guy just kept lowering the price because he just wanted to get rid of the box.
Yeah. Ron Silver, a two-timer on this show. Yeah. He was in Time Cop. Also a two-timer. The girl that plays Jennifer was the girl on the beach with Chuck in Good Luck, Chuck.
Oh.
Yep. That's unfortunate.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry that she had to go that way.
Isn't it? It's pretty cool that we have this little 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
On our show going right here.
Yeah. And the 6 degrees
of They Called This a Movie.
So is this the first They Call This a Movie, how it started, how it's going?
Yeah.
I was thinking now we have to finish the trifecta for this director. We have to watch Captain Ron.
Captain Ron. Oof. Yeah, that probably fits into this show.
I love Captain Ron.
We cut back to Doris at her shop, where Marcy and Summer help her organize her shop, and they make her feel bad for growing old, because that's the first thing to go is your memory. And they have a great joke about a nightlight.
Yep.
It's a pretty good joke. What I like is Summer's reaction, because she doesn't get it. That gave me a chuckle.
And then, instead of some normal joke they mention iodine in the diet.
Yeah.
That's the reason for her being very dim-witted.
Yeah.
Less is more there. You sure. you have it where she doesn't get it. Maybe the shopkeeper just kind of gives like that kind of look, like, oh, okay, just you're an idiot. I get it.
Yeah, I'm actually looking up what a low iodine deficiency causes: fatigue, increased sensitivity to cold, constipation, dry skin, weight gain, puffy face, muscle weakness, and elevated blood cholesterol levels. Not stupidity.
Okay. So maybe low iodine was a big thing in 2000.
You know what? I have no idea.
I remember the great iodine shortage of 2000. Yeah. I remember that.
Because there'd be no other reason than for that to be brought up here than it was like a topical thing at the time.
Yeah,
it was just an obscure joke that the writer had.
My parents would. My parents were stockpiling iodine.
And then we cut back to the orthodontist, and the orthodontist forces Marcy and Summer to chew tablets to make their teeth turn black, to show where they haven't brushed. And this whole scene just ends with Summer smacking Marcy in the face with the bathroom door. As they walk
down
the street,
leads to nothing, to be honest.
Yep. As they walk down the street, they run into Jennifer, who is being honored for being Junior Miss Indiana at the Spring Fling. She wants them to dog sit a dog that she was supposed to but can't, and for them to skip the dance. Then we get a flashback of Jennifer talking down to them when they were younger. In a play where Jennifer played a princess and they played a couple of mushrooms that had no lines, which is also a pretty good joke.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also had another good line that I just remembered near the end. Marcy goes, "Get to the point because I'm leaving in 10 seconds, whether you do or don't."
There you go.
Essentially.
So you guys are liking this movie more already.
Let's not go that far.
Turn me by the end. That's the whole point.
But Marcy tells Jennifer they can't because they have dates, which they obviously don't. But meanwhile, Doris opens the box and finds a ring, but she can barely see it. So she wishes her eyes were better, and they all of a sudden get better. Marcy and Summer go to talk to Rod and Todd to ask them to take them to the dance. But then Todd rides his bike into a bunch of trash cans on purpose because he thinks it's hilarious, and it kind of is. So the girls get turned off and walk away.
I'm glad that they didn't do the obvious joke there with the burping of the ABCs.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I thought that's what they were going for. They mentioned that, oh, well, Todd's just going to belch the ABCs to me. And I'm glad that they didn't.
Yeah,
so I'll give a point there.
Yeah, Summer, don't you say that Todd calls you? Yeah, he only calls me to burp the ABCs.
Yeah.
Which is such a king move.
Is it? Mark, I hope you weren't doing that. That's
How did you get girls in high school?
Burping the ABCs.
I didn't, so maybe that's what I was missing.
Exactly. I mean, there's an equation going on, and you're not seeing the constant.
Right now, there's a girl I went to high school with who's just thinking, why didn't Dan burp the ABCs to me?
Get her so fucking wet.
Oh God.
Before you know.
Usually I'm all for this stuff, but that just churned my stomach.
Well, now do you have to burp?
No. Is it gas? I think it's gas.
So they go back to Doris's store, and Doris now has a beehive hairdo. She seems like she's gone off the rails. She also mentions she turned a lamp with a knight on it into a real knight, but he ran out. So Doris gives the ring to the girls, and Summer asks for guys to take them to the dance, but nothing happens. And then Doris tries, and it fails. So the girls turn on her favorite soap opera, and they run away, leaving Doris to attempt to figure out what the ring's powers are. While she does, she trips over her own 2 feet and hurts herself, and then asks for the legs of her favorite soap opera star, and it works. Doris gives herself a full makeover to look like the soap opera star, Regina Lee Savage, and pays Marcy and Summer a visit.
Yeah, by the way, Regina Lee Savage is such a 90s soap opera name.
It's a good name.
For a character.
Yeah. She tells them that she figured out what the ring's powers are. It's not genie rules, it's Cinderella rules. So you can't wish for something out of thin air, but you can turn one thing into another thing. And then she just so happens to have 2 boys in the back of her car that hop out and she drives off. She tells Marcy before she leaves that the boys were the rats in the cave. Summer's mom comes out, mistakes the boys for 4 exchange students from Sweden, brings them inside for some drinks. And they try to call Doris at her shop, but she doesn't answer. So the rat boys go nuts, eating everything in the kitchen until they spot a cat. So Marcy takes the cat and uses it as a threat to force the rat boys into the garage. But the rat boys immediately eat through the garage door.
So many moments in this movie could have been solved with the current technology of a Find My Phone sort of thing. Like, they could have pinged the location of Doris, and later the moms could have pinged the location of their daughter and stuff like that. All this is reminding you of how easy it was to be a writer back then, mm-hmm. because you don't have to write around the technology at the time to draw this suspense. And also the idea that rats are mimics, apparently, in terms of speech, which I did not know was a thing rats did.
So Summer's mom thinks it's a good idea to bring the boys to the mall. Along the way, she tries to teach them English. Meanwhile, Doris goes to the supermarket and gets mistaken for Regina Lee Savage, the soap opera star. She tries to talk to her, but she starts to hubbub because of her new look. So much so that the mayor shows up and asks her to be the guest of honor at the spring fling. At the mall, the rat boys wander off by themselves and catch the eye of Jennifer Martin, who's at the food court with some other mean girls.
The one thing that impressed me in terms of the time period this was written was how forward-thinking the mother was. And just like, oh, you want to hang out with boys? Sure, go ahead. Why don't I let you go alone to the mall with them? These guys that obviously do not look in your age group.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I wanted to say. So we were going off rat logic here, where they eat all the time. So the first thing that popped in my head was like, well, they're going to want to bone someone. Because rats, that's the euphemism. That's what they do. They multiply.
They do make that mention. They say that they're sort of like boys, basically.
Yeah. So I was, and I'm hurt by that, by the way. All right. That's not all I care about, ladies. All right. I will treat you right. Just don't tell my wife. I didn't think that they would really mention that, being that this is it's a young teen movie. But no, they go right into it. Like, yeah, they like to eat, they like to run, and they mate.
Yep. Yeah, it was a thing I didn't think they were going to bring up, but they do. So Jennifer steals the rat boys from Marcy and Summer, and then they steal them right back by tempting them with food. And the girls enjoy showing off the boys at the mall. So Marcy gets the idea to keep the rat boys around until after the dance. She reasons that rats aren't very different from boys. They just need to keep them fed and busy so they wouldn't want to mate, as we mentioned. So Herb goes to Doris's shop and tries to sneak in to see what's going on, because he thinks that Regina Lee Savage has done something to Doris. And he comes across a man in a full suit of armor standing in the alley very menacingly. I love the fact that the suit of armor never pays off.
Yeah, this could be dropped so easily.
I just kind of love that attitude in this movie, because it doesn't need that sort of attitude. We're just going to introduce shit, and it's not going to mean a damn thing to you.
Given recent, recent developments, so I want to see a meme of the man in the suit of armor and the words, "We live in a society."
it's like a David Lynch thing in a movie for tweens. It's like, why is this suit of armor guy just hanging around, just dead staring Ron Silver in this alleyway?
And it just doesn't pay
off. Yep. Doesn't pay off. That's why I love it. Eventually he sneaks in. He finds a tape and he starts watching it. It's kind of showing the transformation of Doris to Regina Lee Savage. And a cop knocks on the window. Meanwhile, we find out that the ring flew off Doris's hand because now it doesn't fit her because she lost weight during her transformation. But Rod and Todd now have it. So the girls buy a rat training for dummies and try to train the rat boys. They use food for positive reinforcement, and they go to Rod and Todd to get a cattle prod for negative reinforcement, totally missing the fact that Rod and Todd have the ring. So they bring the rat boys back to Summers and try to teach them how to dance. Summers rocking some bell bottoms, I made sure to notice. Yeah. Todd's mom makes him clean his room, even though she accidentally wishes for it with the ring. And then Todd wishes he had another family, and then he just up and disappears.
The only leap of logic in this movie, which there's plenty of them,
the one where it tries
to not explain it, is why Todd is the only one that remembers Rod, or whichever one it was. If he wishes me with another family, he shouldn't remember him like everyone else doesn't remember.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only thing they don't explain, or at least try to explain.
She brings it up at the very end as something that her teacher commented on her paper.
Yeah.
Like, why was she the only person that remembered things that happened? And why was Rod the only one that knew Todd disappeared?
Again, you're telling on yourself. Like, these are things that they literally thought of. Like, oh, how are we going to figure this out? It doesn't need to be figured out. we'll even point out that it makes no sense.
I mean, look, it's a 2000 movie for teens. I mean, sometimes I just think it's at that point, it's just like, well, go fuck yourself with your plot holes. You're not a genius because you figured out this plot hole. Doesn't matter. Oh. Just enjoy the movie. It's like trying to poke holes in the time travel aspect of Back to the Future. Like, who gives a shit? Just watch the movie.
But at least it's competent.
If that's the only thing stopping this movie from being competent, I could understand.
But it's not.
Man, simping for rats.
Yeah, that's right, baby.
Listen, if you're going to go down, man, I mean...
Tom Eberhardt is my Zack Snyder. He's my boss.
God. You know what? I'm going to let you have it.
They trap the rat boys in the garage as they go to get ready for the dance, and the rat boys start learning how to speak properly. As Marcy gets ready for the dance, Mr. Sorek and the police show up asking questions about the whereabouts of Doris, but their only evidence is a videotape that got eaten up by the VCR.
Oh, man, remember VCRs.
I work with them every day, so yeah, they're not great. They're very annoying.
Marcy's mom tries to get her to explain what happened, but she doesn't believe her, and she gets grounded for the trouble.
Because she was about to admit it to the cop, what was going on, and then gets pulled aside. It was like, and here's a, maybe I missed it, because maybe I was looking away, but at one point she says, what if I tell you there's a knight on the back porch? And then they turn around, but I never see a shot of the back porch. Did they show the knight, or did I miss that?
So you see the knight in the window,
okay.
But then when they go to look, it's not there.
Okay. I must have missed the shot of it seeing it. I just thought it was like, there was just the one steady shot in the kitchen. It was like, hey, that thing's out there. Oh, no, it's not out there.
No, they had the shot.
Okay.
So while Marcy is grounded, Doris sneaks into Marcy's room, says that she's tired of being Regina Lee Savage. She's going to put everything back to the way it was, including turning the boys back into rats. Marcy tells her not to be so hasty. Marcy also tells her that the cops are looking for her, but they won't believe that she's still alive until she turns back into Doris. That's when Doris reveals that she lost the ring. She doesn't know where it is. Meanwhile, as Summer realizes the guys are starting to learn to talk and dress themselves, Jennifer Martin shows up. She tells Summer that she's there to escort the boys and Summer to the dance because Marcy was grounded, and she's going to break up with her boyfriend who's supposed to be driving them, which was a great joke for me. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah. Well, after he drives them to the dance.
Yes.
And it's going to happen at some point after that.
So at some point tonight is when she broke up with them, is what she said. At the police station, Herb winds up being the prime suspect in Doris's disappearance, but winds up pinning it on some other guy at the station just by telling another guy to sit in the seat. So then Rod calls Marcy's house to find out if she knows what happened to Todd, but her parents asked her, and they have no recollection of a Todd. Meanwhile, Marcy is snuck out to look for the ring at the supermarket. Doris is turning her car upside down, trying to find the ring, and Herb accidentally tries to stick up a couple of old ladies. And then Marcy shows up to the dance and sees Jennifer with the rat boys in Summer and gets upset. Rod tries to tell her that Todd is missing, but she won't listen. She just wants to tell Summer how betrayed she is for going to the dance with Jennifer instead of her. Doris goes back to the shop and she sees the knight. Then Herb tries to pretend that he has a gun and pulls it on Doris, thinking she's Regina Lee. And the girls, the girls' moms call each other. Marcy's mom tells Summer's mom that some boy licked Summer at the mall. So they go to take the girls away from the dance. Back at the dance, which for some reason has no music, which I think was just the file that we watched because we watched this on YouTube.
Oh, yes, so, copyright.
Jennifer gets bumped for Regina Lee, the Donut King, and the Donut King's wife's nephew, which I thought was also pretty funny.
Yeah, I like that. The whole time in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, they mentioned the Donut King in the beginning. When the hell is it going to pop into the storyline? There seemed to be no point to insert it, and then they insert it in the most absurd way at the end of this movie.
Mm-hmm. And then Marcy, for some reason, starts to feel bad for Jennifer. But then the cops show up and tell the mayor that Regina Lee Savage is being held hostage by Herb, so Jennifer gets what she wanted after all. Doris tries to explain what happened to Herb, but Herb doesn't believe it, and he tells her that Doris is a special person and she wouldn't know anything about Doris. Then the cops show up. At the dance, the girls' moms show up, so Summer pretends to faint in order to make them think she has a medical emergency. Instead, people walk all over her and ask if she's seen her face in the mirror, and that's why she fainted, which I kind of laughed about that. And two girls walk off with the rat boys, who are neither hungry nor looking for exercise, which means they want to fuck. Which is a weird turn in this movie.
And Marcy talks around it as they're leaving with the girls.
You are going to lose it in the parking lot.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that. Yeah, imagine saying that. You're going to lose it in the parking lot.
It was in response to something. I don't remember exactly what they said. I think she might have said, oh, they're rats. They're crazy. And it was like, the girl was probably like, oh, Marcy, you've lost it. And she was like, well, you're going to lose it in the parking lot.
Just that insinuation. It's so creepy.
Rod comes up and tells them that he found Todd, and he says Todd wished for a new family. It turns out that the Donut King's wife's nephew is Todd, and he has the ring, but now he only speaks Chinese. So the girls take the ring and wish for everything to turn back into its original form, including Doris, who was in the middle of a police standoff, and the rat boys turn back into rats right before they try to have sex with the two girls in a car, and our two heroes get grounded by their parents. Herb tries to explain what happened to the cops, but he just mutters. Marcy goes back to the store and brings the rats to Doris' shop while the cops are still there trying to figure out what happened. Marcy hides the ring back in Doris's shop and wishes that everybody forgot about what happened that day.
Except for that.
Yeah.
Maybe this didn't happen.
Yeah, she made a couple of amendments to the wish about like Doris and Herb still getting together and then a few things here and there. And she also her mom forgets that she asked for a phone, which I don't think we ever actually saw. And then she tells her mom that basically she let her have a phone line. So the next day they go back to the shop to wish for Summer to get her own phone line, and Doris says she lost the ring once again. And then it turns out the story was being told as a term paper that Marcy wrote and got a D on it because it was supposed to be a true story. So she has to rewrite it.
If it wasn't a true story, it wouldn't be 6 pages.
Right. Oh, God. I rolled my eyes so hard at that.
And also they had the little gag about the ring. The guy that walks out of the store shakes the box he has and you hear it rattle.
Yeah. The point is that Summer's an idiot, it's a refreshing turn because I feel like you can't call kids idiots anymore.
She's a dumb blonde.
Yeah. And it's a year later and things are looking up. The girls don't hate Jennifer anymore and they're happy to just dance with each other, but they don't need to because now Rod and Todd turned into less dorky versions of themselves, and Doris and Herb are still together and Doris has braces and everybody's just happy. And that's the end. That's the end of Rats, guys. Nope.
The one thing we didn't mention throughout all this is I forgot that this was the era of choreographed dances between friends. The Rat Boys learned it very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And so did Rod and Todd.
Yeah. Yeah. So it reminded me of, what is that? She's All That, oof, where Usher goes, remember that thing I taught you in gym class? Let's do it.
What is the point of this movie?
What was
the message? So they're like, they're the treasure. They're like, they're their own best friends. When did that ever come up?
About self-confidence, bro.
What?
It's believing in yourself.
Then why do they need the rats?
That's what they learned, that they didn't need the rats.
The true rats were
the friends they made along the way.
Right. Which were none.
Rod and Todd.
the rats serve no purpose. The Donut King, this movie. The Donut
Jennifer,
King.
Jennifer wound up being a friend at the end.
Oh my gosh. Listen, the rats are not needed in this movie. The rats leave them at the end. They go dancing with the other chicks.
Because they're hunks and they have frosted tips.
This grasping at straws 101 here.
We're just stating facts, Dan. I mean,
are you?
I've already turned,
I mean, those Mark, are the facts that I've happened turned in the Mark. Movie.
Mark is on my side at the end of this movie.
I don't believe a word I'm hearing. This is
no, I'm just stating that the facts are correct, that those rats were frosted tip hunks, so of course they would go off whatever one at them.
But it makes
that's a fact.
The point I'm making is the rats in the great scheme of this movie serve no purpose, because they don't teach them anything. The rats themselves don't teach them anything. They make a huge mess of everything and are just really in the way.
It's like a monkey's paw situation once again.
It's not.
It is.
Wonder Woman 1984 all over again.
It is, because they've asked for something that they thought was going to be the answer to their prayers.
No, the shopkeeper wishes for it.
Well, she only asks for it because they had already asked for it, but didn't ask properly.
Oh, okay.
It's a Cinderella effect, as they call it.
It right. still makes no sense.
So then the boys come in and terrorize their entire lives, and through that traumatic experience of having these rat boys, they realize that they don't need the rat boys or boys in their life. So they go to the next year's dance. They say, I'm with my friends. We've got this great dance. And we're just going to live our lives, not worry about what Jennifer Martin says. And you know what? Now that we've stopped caring what Jennifer Martin thinks, we're friends.
But then why do Rod and Todd show up?
Because Rod and Todd got cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's,
so we don't need boys. And the final shot is them dancing with boys.
Because they got the confidence that they didn't need them.
And then
but
the
they
boys
got
came.
Them.
Oh, the rats don't matter. The rats don't give them confidence. It makes no sense. There's no reason to have these B and C plots either.
Look,
you could have focused on that part.
You know who you're trying to, you know who you're being right now? Being Barney Gumble in the monorail episode, telling Leonard Nimoy he didn't do anything.
He didn't. Do,
and the rats are just sitting there saying, didn't I?
No. It was the last great folly that they called this a movie ever embarked on. I think you lose the whole hostage situation. You lose that. Get that gone.
Yeah.
You get rid of the knight. You get rid of the knight.
No.
I say more knight.
No.
You got to keep the knight. The knight takes up a minute of this movie.
So
that the hostage situation takes too much time away from the rats. You need more rat boys.
You do. If you're going to go with the knight, I want the knight to be like a Where's Waldo situation, where he's just in the background of no consequence to the scene. He's just there. That's how you do it. You get rid of that. You get rid of losing Rod. Because, again, means nothing. Means nothing.
It's one of those things that is only there for a joke. Like, to be able to do that joke about the Donut King's nephew. Like, that's the only reason that whole plot point exists.
I don't like it. Didn't like it.
Yeah, because it even pokes a hole in the story that they have to say, you know, they make fun of at the end. You know, that whole plot line is just a giant, you know, plot hole.
So, why couldn't the whole point be, you know, they didn't have the confidence. They wish for the rat boys. And then they kind of, like, they teach the rat boys what to do. They grow attached to the rat boys, but they realize it's not natural. It's an affront to God. And, like, the rat boys kind of teach them how they don't need them, instead of the rat boys just being colossal fuck-ups.
Well, they're rats.
Yeah, but rats are intelligent. They make a point of that. Like, they learn quickly. Also, why couldn't it be anything other than rats?
That's the name of the movie, man.
Okay, so why couldn't we change it to something else? Like, why couldn't this be the preteen version of Mannequin?
Because that's the whole Cinderella connection, is rats. Mice turn into the horses.
That's a good point. Yeah, all right. That makes sense.
Yeah, you can't spell mice with a Z, so it's got to be rats.
That's good.
All right. I guess that sounds like what all we got to say about rats. You guys want to plug your shit?
Sure. At DeAquina122, that's the personal Twitter account. And then follow us at Stranger Damies, that's the Real Play D&D account. We're gearing up for the second campaign. It's going to be a lot of excite, very excite. So come check that out. Much excite. There we go. I'm not up on my Shiba Inu. Was Shiba Inu? Is that what it is? Whatever.
I believe so.
Yeah. But yeah, check the Twitter for that, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're very excited.
And speaking of Stranger Damies, we have our episodes air every Wednesday. I believe before this episode would be our final character episode with Jen and Tom. Before we get into campaign proper. At this point, hopefully you guys have gone to twitch.tv/gameballpod and have watched our full first session of campaign 2. Hopefully it went well and I didn't TPK everybody in the first session, and we'll be able to continue it. So remember, episodes will be airing every other week starting March 3rd. And then the middle thing will just be probably a short little podcast. I'm hoping no more than a half hour, unless if we get really deep into if I'm having a conversation about something or a decision or if a character dies or something like that. Maybe the in-between episode will last a little longer. But just sort of a, you know, just a grab bag of things that we could talk about, or, you know, maybe just for the people that watch the whole session live so that they have things to look forward to between sessions instead of just hearing the episode over again with any editing and background noise I put in for it. So once again, that'll be it should still be on twitch.tv/gamevaultpod. If not, I'm not sure if Tom's going to transfer it to the YouTube channel, but check it out there if it goes there. And then you can follow us, as Dan said, on Twitter for any updates for session dates or just questions that you may have. Any complaints, you can direct them towards at Tom Schuster on Twitter. He'll take it. Only one word complaints, and just at and then the one word complaint. That's all you need to do. And then we have the Game Ball Pod. Speaking of Tom, airs every other Monday. You can search for Game Ball Pod on all socials. And then we stream about 4 or 5 nights a week. It's Wednesday, Thursday, either Friday or Saturday, and then Sunday and Monday. So once again, that's all at twitch.tv/gameballpod.
Okay, great. And this is They Called Us a Movie. You could find us on Spreaker and wherever you get your podcast just by searching They Called Us a Movie. So Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, you can find us there. We're themainnaming.com. That's our main website. And you can find us on all socials just by searching at The Main Damie. So that's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just look for The Main Damie and we will pop right up. We're also a proud member of Geek Vibes Nation. You can find them at gvnation.com and on socials and all podcast streaming apps just by searching for Geek Vibes Nation. Tons of great shows. Not just us, Top 10 with Tia, Kind of Nerdy Girls, Scene and Nerd, bunch of great shows. If you're into nerdy stuff, surely you will find a show for you. If you have any questions or comments, you could feel free to reach us at Gmail at themaindamie@gmail.com. It's a great place to send us some recommendations. If you would like to leave us a review and a rating, that'd be great. You can do it wherever you get your podcast. Just give us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps us a great deal when it comes to getting seen. And that's going to wrap it up this week. The director of Rats with a Z is Tom Eberhardt. So for Dan Aquino and Mark Myers, this is Anthony DeVecchio telling Tom Eberhardt, well, you certainly made a movie, didn't you?